Have you ever been a part of a group or an organization and something happened? Maybe you did something wrong or maybe you did something bad. And along the way, you begin to wonder whether or not you were going to feel, you know, welcome back in that organization or whatever else it may have been. You were wondering how people were going to look at the things that you had done. And so there was that doubt in your mind, you know. Maybe you found out that you were welcome back. Maybe you weren't. But all of us have probably had some sort of a situation like that where we just weren't exactly sure whether or not we were welcome back in that organization, club, or whatever else it may have been. Listen, if that's been you, grab your Bible. Go ahead and turn it over, if you would, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Join us in just a minute as we take a look at a situation just like that. We're going to look at old Peter. We're continuing to look at the stories of the resurrection. And we're going to take a look at Peter in the aftermath, or pretty much right after the resurrection. Grab that Bible. Come on back. Mark chapter 16. We'll see you in a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible Study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to thank you so much for joining us as we gather around God's Word once again. I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Mark's Gospel in chapter 16. So if you want, go ahead and turn over there. Now, to start off our Bible study, I ask you if you had ever maybe done something, whether it was on purpose, whether it was on accident, but you weren't exactly sure how everybody else was going to look at you. You didn't know whether you were going to fit back in to that particular situation or organization ever again. You just didn't know what they were thinking. They didn't know what you were thinking. And then maybe along the way, you had those opportunities to try to kind of test the waters and feel it out. Well, we want to look at this today as as we look at the ladies who went to the tomb that day. I want to go to our text of Mark chapter 16, and we're going to actually begin reading with verse 1. Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' Verse 4, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you unto Galilee, and there you will see him as he said to you.' So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, again, we pray that you would just speak to our hearts. Lord, I believe that each and every one of us find ourselves in a situation that we're going to take a look at today. And I just pray, Lord, that you would give us courage, that you would give us the ability to see through your eyes. Lord, I pray that most of all, when it comes down to concerning how we feel in our situation with you, what our walk is like and what our talk is like, Lord, I pray that, that we will see ourselves in the way that you see us today. Lord, all of us have messed up. We're all sinners and we've all fallen short of your glory. But Lord, I pray that you will see that you give us a second chance, just like Peter, as we read in your word today. So bless our time. Lord, use me as your servant for these moments to truly lift you up. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we look today, what we're seeing is the early aftermath, right after the resurrection. And notice these scriptures tell us that early in the morning, they had this, the Marys had this walk to the tomb. There was three women that came, and they were coming to do the job of an undertaker. They were coming to bring spices to anoint the body. Once again, they weren't necessarily looking for the resurrection, but they were looking to come and prepare the body. So they come to do the work of an undertaker. And then what's happened is on their way down there, they're worried about who's going to move the stone away from the tomb, because it had been a big stone had been put in place. And if you will remember from our previous Bible studies, that there was a guard that was placed there. There was the seal that was put on the tomb. So really, you know, all the evidence said they shouldn't have even worried about going down there, because there was not going to be any possible way whatsoever that they were going to have this opportunity to be able to do what they were planning on doing, particularly when it came to, you know, anointing the body of Christ for burial. So anyway, they're still making their way down there. They worried about the stone. By the way, unbelief is very, very fertile ground for worry. I want you to think about that statement for a minute. Let me give it to you one more time. Unbelief is fertile ground for worry. And too many times we worry. By the way, we understand too that the Word of God tells us that worry is a sin. There was no need for them to worry. There is no need for you to worry when you allow God to take control of your situations. Okay? Now, as they got there, when they arrived at the tomb, the stone was already rolled away. Okay, so what we see is that there were three women at this particular point that become commissioned by an angel in verses 5-7. They were to put away their fears. The angel told them, "Fear not." You know, other accounts in the gospel tell us that they were told, "Fear not. You know, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." So they had to put the fear away, because their Christ, our Christ, was alive. And they were to go tell the disciples that Christ had risen. That's what we're reading about today. Now, it's very interesting. Now, here's the point I want us to get today. This is where we want to spend a little bit of time. If you will go back to verse 7, and this is what the ladies were told. It says, "But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." Why do you think that it would say, you know, was Peter not one of the disciples? And yet the ladies were told, "Go tell his disciples," but then they added that part, "and Peter." Why do you feel that Peter's name had to be added to this particular comment? Well, remember what Peter had done. In the passages just previous, Peter was the one who denied Christ three times. Remember, he was the one who said, "Oh, Lord, even though everybody else forsakes you, I would never forsake you. Not going to be a problem. I'll stand with you." He was even the one who, at the arrest, cut off the ear of a soldier. And yet, just hours later, as Christ was being taken before all the councils, you know, even a little girl was sitting there saying, "Well, hey, you're one of his followers." And Peter's like, "No, I wasn't one of them." And if you'll remember, Peter did exactly what the Lord said. He denied him three times before the rooster crowed that morning. So I want you to imagine what it must have felt like to be Peter at that particular moment. You know, I'm sure that Peter, after, you know, those denials, felt like, "Well, I'm not part of the team anymore. You know, everybody else, all the other disciples, witnessed me deny Christ. And Christ himself, you know, knows that I denied him. He foretold it. It happened just like he said he was. So I don't even feel worthy of being a part of the team anymore whatsoever. You know, so what can I do?" And it's very interesting that our passages tell us today that the word to the ladies was, "Go tell his disciples and Peter." You know, why was it that was added? Why must Peter be told as well? Well, let me give you those the reasons why. And you know what? Some of these reasons may be the exact reasons that you need to hear today, because maybe you're feeling a whole lot like Peter in this type of a situation. Peter needed to be told because Peter also needed to know that he was not forsaken. You know, Jesus had prepared his disciples for what was coming ahead. He had prepared them for the crucifixion. You know, he had prepared them for persecution. He prepared them for his resurrection. And yet Peter vowed never to be offended. Now, he was the one who, if everybody else walks on you, you know, "I'm going to be there." He said, "I'm the one that's going to stand with you 100%. But Peter had broken that vow. And this is just in the previous chapters. He broke that vow. Remember, we mentioned a moment ago that he denied Christ in the presence of little girls and in the presence of those that he was warming himself around the fire with. So, you know, Peter, even though he had broken that vow, he needed to know that Jesus still loved him. And I folks, I want to tell you that's something that's key right now. Maybe that's something that you need to know today. Just like Peter, you need to know that even if you've messed up, and even if you've messed up in a bad, bad way, you need to understand that Jesus still loves you. Peter, in this case, needed to know that Jesus still loved him. He also needed to know that Jesus kept his vow. You know, to fail does not make one a lifelong failure. Too many times we get to that point. You know, in our society today, we've got this concept that if we try something and we fail, okay, we're done. We're just failures and we never try it again. You know, one of the things that you have to understand is that for those who have succeeded, there is a long trail of failures to get to where their success was. So you know what? Yeah, we try things and we fail, but if we give up, we will never, ever achieve what it is that we're striving for. So you got to understand that if you fail, and if you fail in your spiritual walk, that does not make you a lifelong failure. It just means that you failed in a particular area. God's love reaches out to those who have failed. Every single one of us have failed. Most of us fail on a daily basis. Now, that's not giving us a license to continue to go out and fail. We need to try to do better. We need to try to not be in that type of a situation. But all of us do that. You're not in that boat alone if you have been somebody who has done something and failed. And no matter what type of failure, whether it was a small one, a medium one, or maybe you consider it a large and colossal failure, all of us have failed. But understand, God's love reaches out to each and every one who have failed. The cross and the resurrection guarantee that love for you and I. So that was one of the things that Peter needed to know. But Peter also needed to know that he had been forgiven. He needed to know that. You see, he had followed Jesus from afar. I've actually preached a message on that before, where after Jesus was taken into custody, it says that Peter walked and he followed him from afar off. He was watching what was going on. He was watching what was taking place, but he wasn't right up there saying, yeah, I'm one of his disciples. Peter was that guy who was just standing back watching to see what was going to happen. You know, he had mingled with the enemies of the Lord in the midst of his following from afar. You know, that was when, you know, we find out that he's standing there around that fire and he's warming himself up. And man, I just love the fact that it was a little girl who said, hey man, you were one of the guys that was with Jesus. You're one of his followers. And then I'm sure that when that little girl said that you know, those that were around there started to kind of, you know, give a look over to Peter. And Peter's like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Now, not me. No, you're mistaken. I'm not one. So what was it that Jesus had told Peter? He said, not only will you deny me, you'll deny me three times before morning. You know, sometimes when we're sitting there mingling with the enemy, when we find ourselves keeping company with the enemy, we will tend to shy away from our Lord and Savior. We will tend to deny him in the same manner that Peter did. Folks, it's one of the biggest reasons why it's important to be around like-minded believers, those that can encourage you, those that are going to give you strength for your journey in the time of need along the way. But as Peter followed from afar, he was mingling with the enemies of the Lord, and he had warmed himself by the wrong fire. Remember what I said a minute ago? Yeah, he was over there with the enemies of Christ warming himself up. It would have probably been far better had he been with the other disciples, other like-minded folks who were followers of Christ who could have encouraged one another along the way. You see, you know, where was Peter at this particular moment? You don't see him with the other disciples that are mentioned in the Word of God. You know, all of a sudden, he's kind of out there doing his own thing. You see, he had denied the Lord three times. He did not want to be identified with Jesus at that critical moment of the life of Christ. In fact, he actually cursed and swore while denying that he ever knew Jesus, and a simple little girl prompted that situation with him. You know, and some of us, you know, we sit back and we look at where we are and we've done the exact same thing. We feel bad. Excuse me. We feel like a heel for what we've done. We're tore up inside and we feel like there's no recourse for what we can do. Think about what Peter must have been going through at that point. Yeah, he was like, well, you know what? I was a disciple all the way up to this point. Now I've just completely, completely messed things up. You know, why would the Lord want to have anything to do with me after the things that I have done? Well, you know what? God forgave Peter. and your sins can be forgiven too. Whatever they may be, you need to understand that God can forgive and that you're not too far gone. And this was something that Peter needed to know. But Peter also needed to know that he had a future with Jesus. You know, it's very interesting that, as we read through these particular passages along the way, and I want to really encourage you to go back and read in its entirety chapter 16. We're just kind of dealing with Peter's situation here, but Peter needed to know. It wasn't that he just should know. Peter needed to know that he had a future with Jesus. Peter at this particular point was a broken man. You know, Peter had been broken before. You know, I think about the broken things in Peter's life over in Luke's Gospel chapter 6 when his net was broken. Remember that one? How about also in Luke chapter 6 when his pride was broken? How about when his partnership was broken? All this is in Luke chapter 6. You see, he had left everything to follow Jesus. You know, he had been that fisherman, and Jesus said, come and follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. He had left all that stuff. In other words, he had set his life towards following Jesus. And then in that brief moment, he realized that how he had failed. He felt like his failure was catastrophic. He felt like there was no return from the failure that he had. He had left everything to follow Jesus, and now nothing was left. Now he felt like he was disqualified to be one of Christ's followers, to be one of those disciples. You know, Peter needed to know that he still belonged to the Lord. Maybe that's what you need to know today. Maybe you need to be reminded that you still belong to the Lord and he still loves you. He loves broken things because he loves to fix broken things. Now, as we think about this message today, you know, think about what the resurrection meant to Peter. You know, when you look over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, you know, he called the resurrection his living hope. Is that not true for each and every one of us? The living hope. The resurrection is our living hope. See, he now knew that God had not given up on him. And I want to remind you today, God has not given up on you. No matter how far away you feel, no matter how out of touch you may feel with God, let me make you this promise, and I want you to hear me good. God has not given up on you. He is still in the process of drawing you close to him. The question is, how will you act or react to his calling? Will you run from it? Will you sit back and say, well, oh no, God doesn't want me? Or will you take the embrace of the Father and will you run back into his arms? You know, what does the resurrection mean to you today? Now, I've said these few things in these few verses. There's so much to be said. Maybe you are at that particular juncture in your life where you feel like you have just failed in a catastrophic way. You feel like the Lord would not want to have anything to do with you. There's a message for you, the same message that God sent to Peter, he sends to you. You know, I love this passage. I want to carry you back to it once again because I think it's so critical. It comes out of Mark chapter 16, which is our text, but verse 7, when the angel told the ladies, it said this, but go tell his disciples and Peter. Did you get that? Let me start over. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him as he said to you. In other words, listen, don't just go back and tell those disciples that are gathered back there waiting. Don't let your emotions get the best of you about Peter. Those ladies knew. The disciples knew what Peter had done. And yet, this message is completely inclusive. Ladies, go tell his disciples and Peter. Don't forget Peter. Peter is still part of the crew. Peter is still part of the plan. Don't leave him out. I still have work for him to do. So my question is simply this. Is that the message that you were hearing today? When the Lord says, yeah, go tell his disciples, and you can insert your name. Go tell his disciples and Roy. Go tell his disciples and Jim. Go tell his disciples and Barry. Go tell his disciples and you can insert your name right there because God still has plans for you. No matter how bad you think you may have messed it up, no matter how much you don't feel like you can or should be part of what God has going on, I can make you this promise. He is there for you. He is waiting to wrap his loving arms around you and to receive you back in the same way that he did Peter. So you got to remember, Peter went on to be one of the greatest preachers that there ever was. He went on to lead many, many souls to Christ because God is a loving God. He realizes that we fail. In fact, if you remember, he even told Peter he was going to fail before he failed. Yeah, sometimes we find ourselves in the same position. And sometimes we feel like we don't deserve it. And you know what? We're right. We don't. But because of God's grace and because of who he is, he beckons to each and every one of us. Go tell his disciples and you. Go tell his disciples and Roy. Go tell his disciples, insert your name. You are still part of what God has planned for the future. What does the resurrection mean to you? Does it mean that you are included in it? Well, I can promise you this, that no matter what it is that is hindering you, God can and will and wants to forgive you, that you might be considered back in the fold. You know, the only person that is that's taken you out of the fold is you. Don't run away from the Master, run to him. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Man, that does my heart good. And what an encouraging word today to know that no matter what we've done, God still has plans for each and every one of us. And he's still including each and every one of us in what he has for the future. So now, by the way, don't take that as a license to continue to mess up. That's where repentance and forgiveness comes in. But the bottom line is you're still part of the team. You haven't been kicked off of God's team, and he wants you to know that today. Would you run back into his arms? Listen, I'm going to pray for you in that manner in just a moment. But here's what I want to tell you. I want to go ahead and tell you what our Bible reading for this week will be. This week, we're actually going to be looking at John's Gospel, chapter 15. That's where I want you to spend some time, John's Gospel, chapter 15. And then next week, we're going to discuss abiding in Christ, which comes out of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. That's John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. That is one of the keys to living a very successful spiritual life, is being able to abide in him, just as his word has told us. And he expresses the importance of that along the way as well. So would you pray with me? Our Father, as we come to you today, I want to thank you for the fact that even though we have sins that so often and easily beset us, that you still beckon us to be a part of your plan, that you still beckon us to be part of the kingdom. And Father, as we have read, we understand how Peter's heart must have been broken at the time that he denied you three times prior to the sun coming up in the morning, and how his heart must have broken as he remembered your words to him. But Lord, what a blessing it was for him to hear that he was still included in part of the group. And Father, just as you told the ladies to go back and tell his disciples, and then you specifically included those words, and Peter, that meant that he was still part of the clan. He was still part of the crew. Lord, you're saying the same thing to many of those who are listening today. Help them to understand that they are still part of your crew, still part of your plan, and you still want to use them in a mighty way. Lord, help them to return to you with repentance and, Lord, with love, that we might truly be about the Father's business. Lord, thank you for including me and Peter along the way with what your plans are. Father, I pray that you will give us a good week, and that you will encourage us in our walk, and that you will encourage us in your word as you bring many people today back into the fold who feel like they don't deserve to be there. And Lord, we in and of ourselves don't deserve it, but thanks be to the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, we have that opportunity to be called your children, to be a part of the family of God. So Father, thank you so much for that opportunity that you give each and every one of us today. So Lord, I pray that as we go through this week, we will look for opportunities to be instruments and tools in your hands. Help us to be your hands and feet and voice to those that are around us and to other people. Lord, help us first of all to understand and work on ourselves and our personal relationship with you. because you love us and you want to use us. You desire that walk with us more than anything. So, Father, give us a great week, and we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, listen, I want to thank you for joining us today for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. As always, I want to invite you, if you do not have a church home that you can come to in person, and you happen to be in our area, we would love for you to visit us at Central Baptist Church. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We would love to have you join us. Our Sunday services start at 10:45. We do have some other discipleship opportunities, but if you so choose to join us, we will be more than happy to let you know what those other endeavors are. And I pray that we would see you. Come worship with us this Sunday as we follow our Lord in spirit and in truth and in His Word. We would love to have you be a part of our family. So with that, I pray that you will have a great week, that God will bless you tremendously, and that you will look for the divine opportunities that He has given each and every one of us as we go into the highways and hedges and also what we call the mission field. God bless you. Have a great week.